Now it's Food Friday, though maybe we should say Food Pie Day, because we're going to talk all about pie, from how to make the best crust to how to make sure your filling doesn't end up burned onto the bottom of your oven. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about making pie? What has given you trouble in the past? Or do you have a tip you keep up your sleeve when you're making pie? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Find some recipes from our guests, by the way, at WPR.org/Food Friday. Aaron Jean McDowell is an author, baker, and contributor to a number of food publications, including Food 52. Her new book is The Book on Pie, Everything You Need to Know to Bake Perfect Pies. Aaron, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Sometimes, Aaron, I read a cookbook and I say to myself, this person really loves the subject of the book they've written about. I feel that with you and pie. Am I right?
You are so right. This feels like the book I was meant to write. I love pie so much, and I just never seem to run out of things to say about it.
And you love, part of why you give a five-step love letter to pie, all the things you like about it to begin the book. And one of the things is just the tactile sense, the actual doing of it and the working the crust. Talk about just the joy you find in the making of a pie.
I'm so glad that you bring that up, because especially right now, I just find the process of making pie incredibly calming. There's something about your hands touching the flour. I recommend that people make and mix pie dough by hand, though of course there are exceptions if you're a person with exceptionally warm hands. But I think that there's just something about getting in there, getting your hands dirty a little bit, and making something entirely from scratch. And that's something that is so satisfying when baking anything, but there's just something about a pie that's comforting from the moment you get the ingredients out till the moment it lands on your plate.
And another thing I love, another of your favorite things about pie, is that you love teaching other people about pie making. Why does that bring you joy?
One of the reasons I love teaching about pie is because I just think that there's a lot of recipes out there that have sort of led people astray. And one of the reasons I think that is because pie making is, you know, a lot of us have inherited recipes from our grandmothers or other family members. And there's a lot of ways that the recipes are worded sometimes that might kind of lead you down the wrong path. One of the things that I notice is a lot of recipes are so cautious about adding too much liquid that a lot of people end up with this sort of dry, crumbly dough that's very hard to roll out. So I really just like helping people find those light bulb moments, figuring out that one thing that was the struggle that they've been having this whole time, and suddenly the door is open and they can bake perfect pies.
Well, let's talk about some more practical advice like that. My hang up on making my own pie crust is rolling things out. And I'm just, whatever kind of thing I try to make, pastry, whatever, rolling it out, it always goes wrong. I can't get it thin enough. It sticks to the roller. I'm kind of traumatized. Help me out.
So when it comes to the dough being easy to roll out, that is all about the hydration of the dough, which I just started mentioning, because it's really one of the biggest issues that I find with most people at home. When a dough is too dry, as I mentioned, it'll be sort of stiff and crumbly. It would be likely to crack when you're rolling it out. And I hear people say that a lot, that I tried to roll it out, but the dough just kept cracking. That means it's too dry. What you're talking about with the dough sticking to everything usually means it's a little bit too wet. You obviously need to use a little bit of flour when you're rolling dough out, but you shouldn't have to use that much. It should sort of be smooth, but not sticky. So that's one of the reasons why a lot of recipes kind of provide a range for moisture. And I always say that pie baking is a lot more muscle memory than a lot of other baking. So I provide in my new cookbook a lot of visual cues so that you can see what a just right dough looks like right next to one that's too dry or right next to one that's too wet, so that you can actually hold your dough up and say, did I get it right? Because sometimes seeing it is really the only way you're going to know.
We're talking to Aaron Jean McDowell about her new book, The Book on Pie, Everything You Need to Know to Bake Perfect Pies. You can join the Food Friday conversation at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. with your pie triage 101 questions or your own advice for others, or just tell us about your favorite kind of pie to eat. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Well, you have shared some recipes with us, and they look really good, Aaron. Let's tackle one of them now. We've got this up at WPR.org/Food Friday, a cranberry orange pie. This is great for the season. Tell us about this guy.
I love this pie because cranberries, I think, are a bit of an underutilized pie filling ingredient, possibly because they're sour. But I think it's also interesting. Cranberries thicken really beautifully. So unlike a lot of other fruit where you have to add flour or cornstarch or tapioca starch, some kind of starch-based thickener to get that filling thick. When it comes to cranberries, they thicken enough all on their own. So that actually makes it a very beginner-friendly pie. I dress this pie up just a tiny bit by adding a second layer, this creamy cream cheese orange layer, because I love the way orange and cranberries go together. So the idea is, not only is this a really good looking and simple pie to achieve, but when you slice it, you actually see two visible layers in each slice, a layer of white cream and a layer of juicy cranberry filling.
Now I'm hearing cranberry and orange is my main filling ingredients. Is it going to be too tart for me?
See, I don't think so. The orange just kind of complements the cranberry. But if you want to really take it to the next level, you could always top it with a meringue topping. This is something I love with cranberries. You know, lemon meringue is a very common pie, right? But why not a cranberry meringue? Why not, you know, any kind of tart ingredient, give it that little extra boost of sweetness? But I put plenty of brown sugar in with the cranberries so that you get that nice sweetness and balance it all out.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Lindsay is with us in Madison. Lindsay, hi.
Hi. I had a quick question about pie filling. I've heard that, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, sous vide helps keep the, if you do that and cook it, I think that's like around water, that it keeps the fruit more at an even temperature, and then the fruit actually stays more intact. But it still gets cooked?
Lindsay, so thanks that's for the call. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. Sous vide is a technique where food is sort of sealed in a bag and then submerged in water. I have to admit, I don't have a ton of experience using it to make pie fillings, but what she's describing does make sense. If you're trying to keep the fruit a little bit more intact, sous vide is a very gentle form of cooking. But what I would actually encourage you to do is, it just sort of depends what kind of goal you're going for. So if you're trying to maintain firmer fruit in your final pie, if you like bits of whole cherries or bits of whole peaches, bits of whole apple, you actually just want to consider that in your method of preparation and not do anything that's going to cause it to break down too much initially, you know, prior to baking. So you can also opt for using slightly firmer fruit. You know, you might actually look at it and say, is that fruit a little out of season? Is that fruit good for baking? But fruit that's a little bit firmer is going to hold its shape better through cooking and baking both.
Thanks for that call, Lindsay. And did I see this advice and get it right in your book, Aaron? If it's a, you know, underripe fruit or overripe fruit, we might think more about pre-cooking it. If it's perfectly ripe stuff, then maybe it's ready to just go right in and bake and have that freshness to it.
Absolutely. One of the things that I talk about when it comes to fruit pies is understanding that seasonality and exactly how in season it is and how juicy it is going to be crucial to getting it that sliceable consistency and not having a pie that runneth over.
Okay, now here's a pie I'm very curious about. Birthday cake pie. Tell us about this, Ed. I like everything about the sound of that.
I love birthdays and I like cake, but I love pie. So why do cakes get to have all the birthday fun? This is the question on my mind. So that was what I was thinking about when we created this birthday cake pie. My amazing assistant actually helped me kind of create this recipe. And we sort of tried to channel the flavors of something along the lines of funfetti. And then it's topped with a chocolate whipped cream. So you actually get kind of that actual cake feeling, but you also get my favorite part of pie, which is the flaky crust.
Let's bring on another caller at 800-642-1234. We've got that birthday cake pie, I should mention, at WPR.org/Food Friday. Russ joins us next in Pleasant Springs. Russ, hi.
Hi. I eat pie several times a year, you know, traditional pumpkin pie and maybe strawberry rhubarb at Christmas. But my favorite pies are the ones that have two favorite pies. the fruit pies with crisscrossed crust across the top and chocolate banana cream pie. And I can't find my bakery, local bakery here downtown, does not make either one of those. Are those very hard pies to get together?
Well, you got to lobby them, Russ. Put some pressure on them to carry your pie. Let's start with that crisscross top that he likes. You've got some of that. You got a lot of topping options in your book. What goes in? What kind of labor goes into that?
So the crisscross that you're talking about is a lattice crust. And lattice crust can be done very easily and in an unwoven style where they're kind of just laid on top of the pie, or they can be woven, which is a little bit more complicated. But in my book, I break down that lattice process. And I would argue that doing a lattice is not that much harder than doing just a top crust on your pie. It just takes a little bit of practice. And in my book, I talk about a different kinds of lattice and rank them kind of from easiest to hardest. So if you're someone who isn't very skilled at pies, but you still want to try a lattice, you're going to want to try my fat lattice, which I affectionately nickname Fattis. It's very easy for even beginners to do. It's very wide strips of dough, so it doesn't require that much weaving. I love this other request, though, about the chocolate banana cream pie, because that was one of the things that I was trying to accomplish when I wrote this book. I'm sort of known for my pies, and I would get people asking me all the time, I see you did a peach pie recipe, but I want a plum pie recipe. Everyone's always asking me about their favorite flavor. My idea with writing this book is that you would be able to mix and match components. You could take your favorite crust, your favorite filling, your favorite toppings to create those dream pies, the pies that you kind of fantasize about. There is a great chocolate cream filling in the book, and there's a great banana cream pie recipe in the book. You could absolutely mash those together. And I always say that the best pies are homemade pies. So if your bakery isn't carrying it, maybe it's time for you to get out your rolling pin.
Yeah, then you can start selling them to the bakery, Russ. So we're talking to Erin Jean McDowell about pie. It's Food Friday. Her latest book is The Book on Pie, Everything You Need to Know to Bake Perfect Pies. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your pie-related questions and thoughts and favorites. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Find a few recipes from Erin at WPR.org/Food Friday. We'll continue the pie conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now we pick up our pie conversation on this week's edition of Food Friday. Erin Jean McDowell is with us. Her new book is The Book on Pie, Everything You Need to Know to Bake Perfect Pies. Let's go back to you and your calls at 800-642-1234. Kathy is with us in Wisconsin Dells. Kathy, hi.
Hi. Hello. I have a question for you. Maybe you alluded to this before. I just turned on the radio. I'm in the car. But no matter how many apples I put in a pie, and I use like Granny Smith or an apple that you're supposed to use, no matter how high I stack it, it always seems that it always sinks way down, and it looks like I didn't put many apples in it.
That's like the potato chip syndrome of the suddenly the bag doesn't have nearly as many as I thought it did when it opened it up. That's a great question. Mm-hmm. I find that pre-cooking the apple filling is actually what helps you kind of prevent that gap. What's happening when you're, no matter, even if you're packing it full of apples, apples contain a lot of moisture. And as they cook in the oven, the sugar is drawing moisture out of the apples. And that is causing them to shrink the way that a lot of fruits and vegetables shrink as they start to cook. And that's why they shrink away from the crust. If you cook your apple filling and let it cool before you assemble your pie, then you don't have that issue happening as much because already some of that moisture loss has already happened before the pie even hits the oven.
Pre-cook the apples. Hope that helps, Kathy. Thanks a lot for calling in. Lots of callers here. Let's go to Sandra now with us in Mount Pleasant. Sandra, hi.
Hi. As far as the crust goes, I have an old Better Homes and Gardens cookbook with an oil pastry in it. And you sift together the flour and salt, and you use oil and a little bit of milk. And I can use expeller press canola oil and whole wheat pastry flour. And you roll it in between two pieces of wax paper, and it's totally forgivable, because if it doesn't work out, once you flip it into the pie plate, you just take your thumb and fix it. It's like working with Play-Doh or something, but it really turns out well and it tastes good. So it's called oil pastry.
Interesting. Thanks a lot for that call, Sandra. Aaron, is that one you work with? And also, if you just have thoughts on the different, she mentioned canola oil in it, the different options of fats to use in our pie crust.
Yeah, so in my book, I talk about all different kinds of fats that you can use. I love the suggestion of a more flexible oil-based pastry. A lot of times those pastry doughs are a little bit less flaky and a little bit crumblier, which isn't a bad thing. It means exactly what our listener was saying, which is that you can kind of press it in, and it's a little bit more forgiving in that way. Inside the book on pie, I have recipes for press-in crusts, including some oil-based press-in crusts, and crusts that you roll out with a rolling pin. So there are definitely crusts of all types. There's actually over 40 different kinds of crusts inside the book.
And yeah, that thanks a lot for that call. I have made, like, I think it was called a pat in the pan crust, and that definitely is more my speed because you don't have to roll those first necessarily, right?
That's exactly right. And also a lot of times they don't require as much chilling. So some people say, oh, pie takes a little bit of time, and that's because typically at various stages you have to chill it, but some of those press-in crusts, they can go right into the oven.
Thanks again for that call at 800-642-1234. It's Food Friday. We're talking to Erin Jean McDowell about her new book, The Book on Pie, Everything You Need to Know to Bake Perfect Pies. Back to your calls. Leland is with us in Sturgeon Bay. Leland, hello.
Yeah, how are you doing?
Good. What do you want to tell us about?
Well, I just have a question about pie thickeners. A lot of times I'll use a lot of recipes call for tapioca, like instant tapioca or the tapioca pearls. And I like to use that because it seems to have a neutral flavor. But I was curious about tapioca flour. If you can substitute the tapioca flour as a thickener instead of using the quick or tapioca or the pearls. And if you can, is it a 1-to-1 ratio, or is there is there a different ratio for substituting
instant tapioca versus tapioca flour as a thickener in our pies, Aaron?
So one of the things that's so great about tapioca flour, which also can be called tapioca starch. So just in case you go to the grocery store and you're looking and all you see is tapioca flour, and you're looking for tapioca starch, those are actually the same thing. Just they can be labeled the same. So tapioca is a stronger thickener than cornstarch, which is one of the thickeners that I use most frequently, only because it's one of the most readily available. So when you are wanting to replace tapioca in any way with a recipe that would use cornstarch, you are going to need double the amount that you need for the cornstarch. It's stronger, but that's what it necessitates to achieve that same level of thickening. When it comes to using the flour versus the pearls, I would really strongly recommend that you give that a test first, because it's not going to be a 1-to-1, because one is a powder and one is in more of a solid form. So what I would do is I would look for a recipe that uses cornstarch and figure out the ratio of what to add that way, rather than trying to convert from pearl to tapioca starch or tapioca flour.
All right. Hope that helps, Leland. All right. Let's go to Blue now with us in Green Bay. Blue, hello.
Hey. So on the subject of pies, I've heard of so many different types of fruit pies, but I don't think I've ever heard of a grape pie.
Grape pie. Interesting.
Ooh, I'm so glad. I'm sorry I jumped right on you there, because that's actually my favorite flavor of pie is Concord grape pie. I love a grape pie, and I first learned about them when I went away to college. I went to college in the Hudson Valley in New York. I had a friend from way upstate New York, and she introduced me to the Concord grape pie. Grapes are tricky to bake with because they're so juicy, but if you can get it right, they make this incredible, juicy, jammy filling that is just killer. So I thank you for allowing me to just gush over one of my favorite flavors of pie, which is actually Concord grape pie, and they're in season right now.
We just have thanks for that call. Just a minute or so left. You also do savory pies. I don't want to, ignore those completely. And you gave us a recipe for a sweet and spicy kale and squash pithiviers.
Petitier is the
Petitier. Of course, it is.
It's a French word, so thus the difficult to pronounce. But it is a double crust puff pastry pie, and the filling for this one is amazing. You just roast everything together on a sheet pan, let it cool, and then you pop it between two layers of puff pastry, and it is an amazing savory pie. I love an excuse to eat pie for dinner.
Now, in our last a few moments now, what is next on your pie agenda?
Well, right now I'm baking with what's in season, so I'm baking a lot of apple and pear and quince pies and, you know, just making my house smell amazing with all those apple and pear and quince pies, I would say.
Fantastic. Erin, thanks so much for joining us. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you so much for having me.
Erin Jean McDowell is a baker and cookbook author. Her latest book is called The Book on Pie, Everything You Need to Know to Bake Perfect Pies. She joined us to talk about, yes, pie on this week's edition of Food Friday. You can find the recipes she shared. You can find them online at WPR.org/Food Friday. What all do we have there? A rough puff pastry. Didn't even really talk about that too much. The sweet and spicy kale and squash petitier. Maybe. Basic crumb crust, the birthday cake pie. Make that for me. And a cranberry orange pie. Again, those are all online at WPR.org/Food Friday. And you can keep telling us about your own favorite pies and your favorite ways to make them. You can do that over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Share your own pie wisdom while you're there. That's the Ideas Network Facebook page.